Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to look at our epistle text for today from 1 John. It talks about fear. You probably noticed in your programs we've got my classic illustrations, and one of them has the word fear on it. Fear is mentioned. It's the topic, one of the topics in our epistle lesson for today. Verse 18 tells us there is no fear in love, so therefore, should we assume that love is the opposite of fear? I think that's a pretty good likelihood, but let's check it out. There's a lot of fear out there in the world today. Stalin, one of the great leaders of Russia and the former communist government, had 8 bedrooms he would sleep in at night. Each could be locked up tight like a safe, and you never knew which bedroom he was going to sleep in. Nobody ever knew. You see, Stalin was not just a great man, but he was greatly unhappy. And in spite of all the fear that he created among his followers by some of the terrible things he did, he himself lived in fear. People were seeking his life. Fear begets fear. An Indian fable says that a mouse was in constant distress because of its fear of the cat. So a magician took pity on it and turned it into a cat. Well, immediately it became afraid of the dog. So the magician turned it into a dog. Immediately it began to fear the tiger. So the magician turned it into the tiger. Well, then, of course, it began to fear the hunter immediately. The magician said, "Be a mouse again. You only have the heart of a mouse, and I cannot help you." And he changed it back into a mouse. If we succumb to fear and let it rule our lives, we will find that there is always something to be afraid of. "No fear" were the words painted on the roof of a house in this photograph taken during the flood of the Missouri River in 1993. Some of you probably remember it. Raging waters surged on all sides of the dwelling that was built in the rising waters that were in the floodplain. Were the words "no fear" a bold statement of courage? Or were they a clear statement of desperation and maybe even denial? To put it another way, did the words proclaim sincerity or foolishness? If we could learn from the person and who they were who put the words there, we could perhaps ask them, and we might have an answer to that question. What did those words, "no fear" on that rooftop, actually mean? But you know, no fear is a bold statement, at the very least. Coming from human beings who are surrounded by many real and imagined fears, one wonders how often the words are just a bold front to a quaking spirit inside of a person. Real fear can't be overcome with human bravado. It's reported that the newspaper advice columnist Ann Landers, who died in 2002, received an estimated 10,000 letters a month. And people would ask her, what was the common theme or the biggest problem in these letters? And when asked this question, she would say that the one problem above all others seems to be fear. People are afraid of losing their health. They're afraid of losing their wealth, their loved ones. People are afraid of life itself. Fear is common, and everybody has fears. How does fear impact us here today personally? We all come with some fear. Does fear motivate us like it did Stalin? Do we have the heart of a mouse when we wish we could have better? Do we strut around proudly with a no-fear attitude tattooed on us, ignorant of things maybe we should really fear? When you see something or someone strutting around, attempting to look fearless, don't buy it. I certainly don't buy it, at least not anymore. Fear is undeniably out there. I saw it in the eyes of our young soldiers at my pre-deployment briefings before going into Iraq. And when I asked them to speak honestly, "Are you fearful?" A lot of hands went up, folks. A lot of hands. What do we fear? The future? Is that it? Do we fear change? Do we fear the new and the unknown? Do we fear making mistakes? Do we fear hard decisions? Do we fear becoming a victim? A lot of stuff out there to fear. Maybe we fear the dissolution of a treasured relationship. Maybe we fear that the old clunker will break down and we can't afford another one. Maybe we fear aging, illness, and injury taking away our youth and vigor. Maybe we fear that nobody will take care of us when that happens. Maybe we fear the continuation of chronic pain or public humiliation or public failure. So much to fear. Do our fears overcome us, or do we overcome our fears? Where and who do we look to when we do fear? Our epistle text reminds us that there is something stronger than fear. Love is stronger than fear. The love of God. John says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. In other words, they don't know the Lord. This verse speaks of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a love that is often foreign to us because, and I quote, we can't see the forest for the trees. This is an expression used of someone who is too involved in the details of a problem to look at the situation in the big picture and as a whole. Fear is one of the many details of many problems and many situations. And as they say, the devil is in the details. In other words, the details of a matter are its most problematic aspect that trouble us the most. Sometimes the overwhelming details of our fears are like the trees in the forest that keep us from seeing the forest, from seeing the bigger picture of a loving God who is there to bring us through the forest of our fears. The love of God is not the love we commonly see and experience in our lives. It's not the much overrated love of human emotion or passion. It's not the love of possessions, of self, or abilities. Such types of love are powerless to take away the fear from within. In fact, fear increases when we try to substitute it with these poor human substitutes. They just don't cut it. These imitations of true love are only the band-aids we use to cover the biggest wound, the biggest fears in our lives, that of the fear of judgment over our sins. Frederick Buchner, in his book, The Clown in the Belfry, says that we become adults when we begin to count the pain and losses in our lives, a process that begins in adolescence. Fear of the very pain of which life is made keeps us immature. Rather than living what is happening, we fear what might happen, and thereby we fail to live. We lose our life by trying to save it. The exact words of our Savior in the book of Matthew, aren't they? To let our fears control us and to risk nothing means that we will do nothing. We will have nothing. We will be nothing. We may avoid suffering and sorrow, but we can't learn. We can't feel. We can't grow. We can't love and we can't live. Chained by our certitudes and our fears, we are a slave to them and have forfeited the freedom and peace that God intends us to have in trusting in Him and trusting in His love. Because true love from God has an impact on believers. There is a place where there is no fear. Our Romans epistle talks about this place. Paul assures the Roman Christians of it when he says, "Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is no fear where God is, because God is love. And in a faith relationship to Him, through Jesus Christ our Savior, We share in that love. God's perfect love expressed in the sending of His Son to live, die, and rise again for us. Jesus and Jesus alone has the power to drive fear from our lives. You see, Jesus, what is He like? Well, it's kind of like the little boy in Amsterdam. He built this beautiful boat made out of wood, and he went up to the dikes, and he went to sail it in a lake. But pretty soon, a burst of wind came up and began to take it across the water, and he couldn't run fast enough to follow it. And eventually, he lost it, and it was out of his sight. Of course, it was a pretty bad day for the little boy. It was a beautiful boat. He went home. The next day, as he was walking around, or maybe it was a couple days, walking around downtown in one of the shops down there, guess what he saw in the window for sale? He saw his little boat. Well, there was no way to prove it was his. The only way to get it back was to purchase it. And so he looked at the price, and he didn't have that kind of money. He went home. He began to work odd jobs here and there. He saved his money until finally one day he had enough to go in and purchase that little boat. And that he did. He paid the shopkeeper. He picked it up, and he walked out the door. And he said as he was walking out the door, "You were mine because I made you. Now you are mine because I bought you." And so it is with us. God says, "You are mine because I made you. And when you were lost, I found you and I bought you with the price of the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ." Because through Jesus Christ, our sins, by His blood shed on the cross, have been forgiven. And we are made right with a loving God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of salvation. God's love conquers and roots out our sin. And so it can be said that His love displaces our fears. No matter how far we have strayed, God comes seeking us. And like He forgave His disciples later after His resurrection for abandoning Him, so He also forgives us. He found Peter by the Sea of Galilee, dragging himself around in self-pity after his cowardice. And Jesus called him back with the words, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." In other words, get back to life. I forgive you and I love you in spite of your past failures. And He forgives us too for the many times we have abandoned Him in the face of our fears. For the times we fail to do the work He has called us to do. And He calls us to be about His work once more. You see, our sinful hearts, Satan and our culture, are wrong. Love is not God. God is love. Having no fear takes place here today in our hearts as we renew our vows to God, as we repent of our sins daily and seek and rest in His forgiveness. His forgiveness for all the wrong things we've wasted our time on. And we rest in His promises. And we believe the gospel of our lesson for today. The place where there is no fear is in the heart of one who has faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith can only be there because it is created by the power of His word and His sacraments. As they create faith in our hearts, and they too will sustain faith in our hearts. And then, with faith in our hearts, we begin to realize and take comfort in the fact that this is not the end. This is not where it all ends. We have hope here. We experience God's love here through forgiveness. But one day, we will experience it as well in heaven, where we find the ultimate peace with God, and we enjoy His love in fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.